CliffCentral.com.
I think the song is still going to be amazing in like 2022 when Durban doesn't have the Commonwealth Games. Nick Holder's Summer Days, just all time classic. It's very, very cool. Where does Sia go to?
He's busy on the other side with stuff. I don't know.
Where the hell? That guy wanders off Malden Forest, Whitaker's left eye. Where are you, Sia?
He's a very popular young chap, Sia Sanguini Finn.
You know, we're trying to do a radio show here.
I wander off more than Forest Whitaker.
Forest Whitaker's left eye.
No, that's not nice.
Well, either it's you wandering off. We're doing a bloody radio show here, Sia.
Yeah.
Get with it.
I was coming back from the other studio. What am I meant to do or say about my life?
Yeah, because the other studio is part of the show. Yeah, I get that.
Okay, Ben, you miss me all the time.
No, see, I'm trying to give the best to our listeners.
Hey, so what are you going to do this week? So, you know, I'm not here tomorrow.
Yeah, okay,
so you're going to miss me even more.
So when were you going to bring this up if I didn't actually bring it up yesterday?
Are we now having therapy?
No.
Is this what it
is? You're just following in the footsteps of Gareth, who, you know, at odd times will just drop bombs, yeah?
No, I
have nothing wrong with what you've done. That's just the standard way things get done on
and
this
I'll
show.
And I'll be back on the show on Friday, but...
No, wait,
a consolation prize.
No, it's... Hang on.
Yes, Benjamin.
I don't think you can just escape this.
Okay.
At a time when we are down in staff, what has made you think that you can now just go off and do business?
What am I meant to do if business comes calling?
Did you have this commitment business? For a while?
It is a commitment.
So it's not something that you could cancel.
It is a situation.
I get it.
I love you guys dearly.
That actually has nothing to do with it.
Do you want me to call in? I can call in tomorrow morning. Ride prime and early just to be here with you in spirit. I'll light a candle in your, like, behalf.
Okay, so, seriously, let's cut the crap here.
Yeah.
You're going away for 2 days.
What
is so important that you have to leave us for 2 days?
A bit of this and a bit of that.
No, that's not nonsense.
I can't divulge too much right now.
See, what did you put in your leave form and submit to HR?
Well, not really HR, no. But all joking aside, going down to Cape Town because I'm working with an organization that does skills development. So I'll be in Khayelitsha because there's a graduation of the organization I've been working with. So it's called Sinako, and they've been teaching ladies in Khayelitsha how to sew and make clothes. In keeping with empowerment. So finally now these women are now having a grand finale of the entire program. So I'm going down there for that.
Now, if you just told us that in the beginning, we wouldn't have to go through all this hijinks.
What's drama in life, though? Cape Town people now, like, you know, gird your loins,
you're going back to finish more of their water.
No, I'm not. I'll be there for like 2 seconds, people. Calm down. Okay.
Well, we need to get into some hard-hitting news.
Yes.
Because this is what the show is actually about. People don't come here to hear about your your gallivantings.
They'll hear it on Friday. But speaking of some hard-hitting news, by the way, folks, you know, I did say I love you dearly, but tickets for our live movie premiere next week, Thursday, the 23rd, are like kaput. Yes. Dunzo, done, that's it.
Officially done.
Yes.
Now, we're talking about the aisles, your lap, we're out.
Well, my lap was never part of the equation. Contrary to popular belief, my lap is just for myself. But if you don't know what we're talking about the Life movie screening starring Jake Gyllenhaal and Ryan Reynolds. It's this whole sci-fi thriller movie about a team of six scientists who go all the way to Mars on this international space station mission of discovery. They find out, they bring a sample collected from Mars, and on their way back, they find out that it contains a large single-cell organism, which is the first example of life beyond Earth. But things aren't always as they seem, and so scientific discovery turns into a bit of terror when life form proves more intelligent than anyone ever expected. So the crew not only need to fight for their own survival, but also stop it before it reaches Earth, where it could wipe out humanity. So to everyone who has a ticket, kudos on you. We're going to have some fun next week, Thursday, starting, of course, Sandton City. So we'll all just like be freaked out together. And we're all part of the exclusive screening because we're getting to watch it before it actually premieres around the country. So yay, very excited.
Will you be at that?
I'll be at that.
Okay. We gotta ask you things.
I'll pencil it into my diary, yes.
Okay, so you know who the grand ruler of Turkey is?
Tayyip Erdogan.
Yeah, this dude, okay.
Stop. How do you know that?
Because she does the news here, yeah? I mean, are you vacant so often you forget that Valim Aloy is our news authority?
That's really awesome.
So there's a bit of a story developing where, you know, there's been this whole Islamophobia, anti-European establishments, all that kind of stuff. You know, Europe isn't exactly the most stable place right now for various factors. So we're talking refugee crises. We're talking all manner of different sort of economic factors, breaking away from the EU and the euro and all that kind of stuff. It's just so many different aspects. So Turkey is a huge country, right? It really is. It's one of NATO's biggest countries. I think they submit the most troops to NATO itself. There's a bit of it that's Asia, a bit of it that's Europe. Istanbul, of course, is the city we all know so much about. So Erdogan is this guy who, well, he's basically in charge there, is in charge the kind of way that I think Jacob Zuma would like to be in charge here. And he's come out and basically called out the Dutch and the fact that they're not allowing Turkish political protest to happen in the Netherlands. Sounds weird, right? But so let's just cue this up with what Al Jazeera have to say about it, because these guys are really good at news.
This kind of pro-referendum rally in Istanbul is exactly what the Turkish President Erdogan wants to see happening in European countries.
So basically what he's saying is that we need Turkish people from around Europe to show their support for Turkey in the countries that they're living in. Sounds weird, right?
I mean, it's a bit like controlling on his part.
Yeah, you go to another country to live, become part of that country. Maybe that's simplistic of me, but so he's very much against that whole, you're not allowed to be Turkish in another country, politically.
Where Turks live. There are 300,000 Turkish voters in the Netherlands. But no one can hold a public rally in the Netherlands about another country's politics. It's against Dutch law. But that point seemed lost on the Turkish president, who used furious language against the Dutch people.
Furious language. This is a warning. Furious language shall follow.
Sure.
Sounds furious.
They don't know anything about politics or international diplomacy. They are very nervous and they are cowards. They are Nazi remnants. They are fascists. You can ban our foreign minister's planes as much as you want. Let's see how your planes come to Turkey from now on. I'm talking about diplomatic flights here, not about citizens' flights. That's a separate issue.
The Dutch Prime Minister had tried to explain that Turkey's foreign minister was free to fly to Rotterdam and hold an event in the Turkish consulate. But he said the Turkish government's demands to do what they pleased left them no choice but to withdraw the invitation.
Sounds fair.
And he was deeply unimpressed with the language of the Turkish president.
It's a crazy remark, of course, but I understand they are angry, but this is, of course, way out.
And into all this, just 5 days before the Dutch general election, stepped the far-right Freedom Party leader, Geert Wilders. This is exactly what I told you about the Turks, he said to the Dutch people.
Most of them have double nationality, and now it proves who they are loyal to. Are they loyal to Holland? Then they should reject the remarks of President Erdogan, and they are equal as anybody else. But if today proves, or the coming days, that they support the crazy and harsh remarks of Mr. Erdogan, then I invite them all to leave Holland, to go to Turkey, and to never come back.
You see where that's going to go. You bring a right-wing guy in with a fancy hairstyle, and things are very much like, okay, I've been pissed off. But let's get back to the furious language of Erdogan, right? Now, this guy, he speaks a lot.
Dutch law. But that point seemed lost on the Turkish president, who used furious language against the Dutch people.
Okay, so that's how he sounds normally. But so furious he sometimes gets.
Oh, no.
This is another rally where he was talking a couple of years ago. This is his hype man in the background. Okay, here he comes. Speak furiously again.
No way. Okay.
Someone needs to give him some water.
No. I mean, either He was sick that day.
For real.
Yeah.
Either his we was.
No.
No. No. Either that or somebody thought it'd be a good idea to just manipulate his voice for the purpose of the clip.
Completely not unmanipulated, okay? There's this really great British show. It's like an entertainment talk show called Have I Got News For You, where there's a panel and there's comedians, and what they bring is they bring actual politicians onto the show and they talk about the current affairs. And a couple of years ago, he went out on one of these big rallies that he loves to do because he loves people getting together and shouting and screaming for him. And he had a bit of a sore throat, but he thought, no, yeah, I'm going for it. See, but what these guys want to do, these dictator types, right? So they want to take all sense of humor away from society. So therefore, I mean, if this happened anywhere else, people would be laughing at him and just, but in Turkey, you respectfully listen.
See, the sad thing is the internet will never let you forget.
No, because at any stage of your day, you can just go to this.
Oh, shit.
And no, he didn't give the speech with a sock puppet on his hands. That's just him speaking. All right, what else we got in the news?
Okay. The rand is the 20th most traded currency, making up 1% of the world's daily currency trading. This is according to a new survey by the Bank for International Settlements, or BIS. The survey is conducted every 3 years. It looks at the size and structure of the global foreign exchange market. It's based on data which is obtained from 53 central banks and about 1,300 banks and other foreign exchange dealers. So you would think, oh, we're 20th? I don't know. Do you think it sounds bad or do you think it sounds not so bad? Because I'll tell you what, South Africa has slipped 2 places. From being ranked 18th position, this was back in 2013. Oh. Our highest ranking was back in 1998, where we were in 10th place. Yes, you are correct. That is before Jacob Zuma took office. In fact, it was Nelson Mandela who was in charge at the time. It dropped to 13th position in 2001. And the last time we had our lowest ranking was back in 2010. Yes, you are correct. Jacob Zuma had already taken over. Now, according to Chief Economist Kevin Lings, who's with Stanlib, he says that this drop does not mean that trade in the rand has dwindled. In fact, the growth in the value of the rand traded globally has been very impressive. South Africa only accounts for 0.3% of the world's daily foreign exchange market turnover. So being 20th place, according to some economists, not the worst thing in the world.
Yeah, we must bring this up tomorrow with Anthea as well, because there were so many different, like last year, it was going up and down. The fluctuations in the value were crazy,
yeah,
which would suggest huge amounts of trading. Which then begs the question, though, what are the most traded currencies?
The highest trading currencies, if we look at the top six in the world, will begin in sixth place with the Canadian dollar, Canada A. In fifth position is the Australian dollar. In fourth would be the British pound. And then in third place is the Japanese yen. Second place is the euro, and then obviously the first place, everybody knows what's the highest trading currency in the world. Mm. That would be Trump's dollar now.
Obviously, there's various reasons around this as far as travel. Travel's a big deal because you go to these major hubs. And then strong currencies. So if you can, I don't know if it's legal or illegal, but there's money to be made by just having strong currency, especially if you live in a place where your native currency ain't so strong.
Anthea's the best person
for
this.
Do you concur?
Let her make sense of this right now, because we can always just lament and be confused by this and be dismayed.
Well, it's always nice to know where we are in top 20. So we're in the top 20 of world's most traded currencies.
Well, that's sort of good, right? In the greater scheme of things. you know, it's not the best, but in the greater scheme of things.
Well, look,
oh, yeah,
it's not completely terrible. I mean, it could like be like Zimbabwe, not have a currency.
Considering there are 50-odd countries in Africa alone, don't know how many countries there are in the world, but yeah. At least, can we at least sort of celebrate this in a world and in a time where we don't have a lot to celebrate in South Africa sometimes?
I'd love to know whether anybody has fallen prey to this new scam where everybody is now, you know, taking it upon themselves to warn us of these foreign numbers that call you. And sometimes the phone rings and then it cuts and then you thinking, oh, this is a strange number. I don't recognize. Let me try and phone this person back. And then apparently as soon as you phone the person back, within 3 seconds, your contact list, all sorts of things in your phone have been hacked. And if they can get to your bank account details through any of the stuff that you save on your phone, that's how it gets done. Now even MTN is warning their mobile users to avoid returning missed calls from international numbers. I personally have never received any of these calls, but my brother took a screenshot of his phone the other day. He's received calls from 4 different numbers.
And these are all
numbers that are listed on the supposed scam list that has now also been released.
But just to go back a sec there, if someone phones you and you don't know what the number is, do you phone them back?
I don't answer the call.
I don't answer the call either.
Wait, if you don't recognize or have a number saved, you don't answer point blank?
No.
Yeah. Even if it's a little 082 number?
Yeah.
I have no interest in talking to strangers, but that's just me aside. But if you get a missed call from a number, do you feel like you should call them back?
From a number that's already in my phone book, yes.
Yeah, sure, but we're talking like strange numbers here. For some people, they live life going, oh, I must phone them back.
Yes, you see, guys, I'm the idiot who's going to be scammed.
Let's see, why? If you don't know who this person is, if it's important, they'll phone you back or leave a message. They'll detail their business with you.
Some people assume that, okay, well, if I called you and you didn't pick up, there's now a missed call, which means you're going to call back.
Well, then they're an
idiot. That's how I work. Like, if I call you and you don't pick up, I assume because you've seen the notification that I tried to call you, you're going to call back.
That could also be a butt dial.
If you are trying to call me and you don't get a hold of me, if it's important enough, you will try and call me back because you're the one who's trying to get a hold of me.
Oh, man. You see, now, the thing is, with even this whole entire scam situation, I was of the belief of that I shouldn't even worry about this because, guys, they could be doing some hackulation to Mark Zuckerberg. Why are they hacking me? But remember the talk we went to Mabale a few weeks ago?
At Investec.
Yes. With the guy who basically, what is his name? Slips my mind.
I can't remember his name, but I mean, he's worked for the FBI.
Yes.
He's a legitimate.
He didn't tell you because he didn't want you stealing his identity.
him and his team basically keep track of cyber criminal activity.
Mm.
And part of his talk was just letting people know that, you know, a lot of the time, part of the success of why people are so very good at cyber criminal activity is because they are light years ahead of where you and I are still thinking, you know, oh, well, I'm protected because X, Y, and Z. Meanwhile, they've already figured a way to break into your protected state of mind and to hack into certain things of yours that you would otherwise have no idea they're capable of doing.
And more than that, we're at a higher risk simply because they can take from 10 seers. But as soon as you hack one Mark Zuckerberg, that's like red alert, alarms are, you know, ringing all over the place.
Hmm.
So we are actually at greater risk. So part of people, then maybe I shouldn't be answering my phone.
Yeah, you shouldn't. And look, there's various ways you can get scammed. I know some of this is like James Bond, like hypotheticals that, oh my gosh, we can scan your entire phone and now we can steal your bank account. Like, I think some of that is like fear mongering, but just stay away from strangers. I mean, we learned that from stay away from strangers in the park who have sweets. Now, it's stay away from strangers trying to access your phone.
You see, but in the 21st century, where do you blur that line when you get into cars with strangers?
It's the same thing. Answering strange phone calls is like getting into, it's like...
I mean, every time you get into an Uber, that's a stranger.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. So where do we draw the line? Could be your Uber driver trying to call you.
Yes, but there's...
Could be your service provider.
But there's accountability with Uber. You know exactly who what the guy's name is. There's a picture of him. You can track where you're going with that person. You can't track when some guy from Syria is phoning you.
Shucks.
I mean, use your head here.
Well, you just don't know. Because I think that's where a lot of people are. Where do we draw the line?
When in doubt, stranger danger. Let's just stick to that one, right?
Well, they can now hack onto your Facebook and they can take those details and.
Well, I mean, look, cyber criminals can pretty much hack into anything. So it's kind of what makes them brilliant. They can literally hack into anything. Yep. They can.
You've always got to make them work. You've got to make them work for the crime. You can't roll over in life.
Well, quite honestly, how many of us have the same password or the similar password for a lot of our platforms?
That's your own problem.
I don't know what you're talking about, Sia.
Oh, wait, you guys have to...
That's your own problem.
Okay, never mind.
So there's more news on World Hide and Seek champion Madeleine McCain.
You know, can we rephrase, please?
This is a story like 20 years old at this stage.
But this is the thing, right? It is. It is such an old story.
World Hide and Seek champion.
Apparently, the investigation to this point has been £13 million in.
Who's footing that bill?
This is what I want to know, right? There are so many different questions here because we all hear this story. Family went away on like a summer holiday. They left the child in the hotel room. They went to go probably watch some, I don't know, Sticky Vicky strip show or something.
No, they were at dinner with other parents. But
okay, right. All right, so this is why you're here.
He's fair.
Checker. And then the child was gone. So shock horror, obviously huge search, a lot of media coverage. Madeleine must be, I don't know, like 20 by now?
I'd say mid-teens.
So funding was due to run out within the next couple of weeks, right? But then fresh developments and a new person to question has come up. And now suddenly a new cash injection of £85,000 has gone into the investigation.
From who?
This is the thing. This story is like, again, it's one of those cold case files. You know, there's a TV show that does that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
What are the factors at play here? Because obviously you're never going to tell a parent, just let go of your child now, forget, move on, life goes on. But if you got £13 million to spend, or if there's an organization that is funding £13 million worth of investigation work, you got to ask questions, right? Firstly, maybe not the best investigator. I mean, how much more money do you need? And if they have come to the conclusion that all our leads have gone cold, then maybe the worst has happened. And, I don't know, sanity's got to prevail here.
But also, I mean, why the excessive interest here when there are millions of cases like this on a daily basis?
So many. I mean, human trafficking, as we know from Liam Neeson's sordid relationship with his daughter.
Mm.
I mean, she was taken all the time.
Mm. Oh, she's also an idiot. I mean, come on.
She was. She was exactly
making a difference.
Exactly.
I think it's the fact that the world, quote unquote, fell in love with Madeleine. Because I was watching an interview a couple of months ago. I was rewatching one of those old Madeleine McCain interviews, and that was when Oprah interviewed her parents. And really, I was like, in a day and age where so many kids are kidnapped and, I don't know. I really do think it just hits us innately in our hearts, just like baby CYP. What was it particularly about that case? I don't know. It just sort of gives me faith in humanity that we actually do care once in a while and we, you know, jump onto the bandwagon. But on the other side of the scale, I think the kidnapping happened in Spain, and the resort where Madeleine was actually kidnapped from is under new ownership. And the owner is said to be constantly, you know, like, contacted for people who want to go into the room or who just want to see. And we aren't talking about like investigators or authorities, but general folk like me and you who just want to, you know, be in the room. And I'm like, that is kind of all types of screwed up.
That is weird, huh?
Which makes me lose faith in humanity then on the other side.
In one fell swoop, you have faith and then you lose it just as quickly.
I wonder. But yeah, Madeleine was born in 2003, so she should be now 13/14 years old. And it is a tricky situation because for the parents, you do not have any form of closure. And I'm not trying to make light of the situation, but in something like this, I would rather personally know that, okay, cool, my child is dead. You know, at least you know how to deal with it. But it's this open-ended thing for so many years.
Exactly. So what they're doing is obviously going around, and they're very dedicated to this, although authorities say this is the final roll of the dice in this case.
But they've been saying that so often, you know.
She was abducted, obviously, she was very young. So now she's 14. She might not be recognizable. You know, so they might be walking in some, I don't know, European town, and they see a 14-year-old girl, and they think it's her. They're going to constantly keep looking around, and they're constantly going to keep seeing her, because in their mind, that whole thing, when you imagine stuff, you start seeing things.
Mm.
Every single day, they're probably imagining what she looks like, what she could be doing, where she could be.
Yeah.
And then they're going to see someone else's kid, and it's like, that's definitely Madeline. And then it gets awkward.
But call me naive, but I do think it is so important to keep on speaking about cases like this and similar cases, because someone cannot disappear and vanish into thin air. Someone knows what happened.
Sure.
And that person has a friend, has a neighbor, has a girlfriend or a boyfriend who could also know, like, just always speak about things, because you never know. You never, ever know.
But how old was she when she disappeared?
I will find that out for you. 2007, so she was 4.
Because, you know, would she be aware that she was kidnapped? Because 4 years old, yes, there was mum and dad, and then, but now over the years, there's this other person that's, you know, assumed the role of parent.
Mm.
How much of a brainwashing process have they been working on you from the time you were 4 years old to now where you're a teenager? Does she have any memories of her biological parents at this stage?
In a likely situation, we hope.
And what was she told? Yeah. I mean, what if she was told, well, your parents died, so we had to come in and take you?
We'd hope that was the case, whereas Madeline could be someone's sex slave right now.
Yeah.
She could be locked up in a dungeon. She could be a mother of 3 incestuous kids, like something or the other. Well, not incestuous, because it's not any of her parents. But do you know what I mean? She could be locked up somewhere.
Like a Josef Fritzl kind of situation.
Exactly.
Well, conspiracy theory update. Roman believes that maybe it was just the parents killed her and disposed of her body, and this endless hunt is just basically absolving them of the crime.
Well, that was one theory that was proposed a few years ago. In fact, quite shortly after, you know, it became evident that they were not going to find this girl, and then, you know, people started looking at the parents and they thought, ooh, but what if you two are involved and you're just kind of diverting attention by making us think that you're desperately trying to find this child? But I mean, over 13 million pounds, would over 13 million pounds continue into going into the search of someone when in fact it turns out the parents are possibly involved in her disappearance?
I wonder.
It's tricky.
It is tricky. Tough story, huh? Maybe it's got something a little bit lighter.
Okay.
I brought that up, I'm sorry.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we spoke about Ed Sheeran earlier. So Ed Sheeran, I mean, he's pretty much the guy to beat at the moment. He's the guy having sex with the types of girls that you will never have sex with because you're average and poor. He is the guy who's got...
If your Tuesday wasn't tough
well,
enough,
I mean, listen,
my mother just lays
amen.
It on me.
These are real life things. I'm sorry, you must just deal with it. He's the guy that's got how many number ones now on the UK? Okay, so he's just set a brand new world record. It's great stuff.
He's got a hit for every conquest and Taylor Swift sex ring.
There you go. Now, apparently, Ed Sheeran is also going to be on Game of Thrones.
Oh, of course he is.
He will apparently star on season 7 of Game of Thrones. The hitmaker agreed to appear on the show. This is after creators... D.B. Weiss, and David Benioff approached him apparently as a surprise for star Maisie Williams, who plays Arya Stark, who is apparently a huge, huge, huge fan of Ed Sheeran's. In fact, speaking at South by Southwest for the panel show, which Gareth was telling us about yesterday, and remember, Gareth did say that he spotted Maisie Williams and the other actress who plays... Oh, gosh, what's her name again?
The other Stark sister.
Is Arya Stark and Sansa Stark.
Is it Sansa? Well, anyway, Sansa. I digress. So, you know, the creators of the show revealed this yesterday at South by Southwest. They said, for years, we tried to get Ed Sheeran on the show to surprise Maisie, and this year we finally did it. So no details yet regarding Ed's role in the series have been released.
The thing is, he does look like a wildling.
He does look like he could fit straight into that cast, and they wouldn't even need much makeup for him, like hair and like costume.
Exactly. He looks like a wildling who will no doubt come up with a song by the campfire one night.
No details yet about his role. they've also revealed that the 8th season of Game of Thrones will only have 6 episodes. So this season that we will that will premiere in July of this year, 2017, that will be the 7th season. And then the creators also said the 8th season will then just have 6 episodes. So for, you know, people who at this stage just find Game of Thrones mundane and boring, they'll have a shorter time to deal with Game of Thrones fans completely obsessing about their favorite show.
I'm all for that. I mean, if you took away the Khaleesi's pouting, those episodes would be half an hour anyway. Where are my dragons? Well, just keep track of your dragons and we'll be done in 10 minutes here.
Also, you know,
They're in that cave.
Also, at this stage, you know, the Khaleesi doesn't have to take her clothes off anymore, which, you know, a lot of people have lost.
That's what she thinks.
Have lost
interest.
Remember
there was that lull and then she took her clothes off again in the last season?
What, this, like season 5?
Yeah,
oh, really?
Straight back.
Okay.
Setting fire to stuff naked and all that kind of hijinks.
Ah, but then we discovered that it's not really her because she uses a body double all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's yeah.
But Game of Thrones fans, I'm trying to find out, how is it season by season? Is it getting better? Do you feel like they're consistent?
I think the right fan to ask would be people who've read the books.
Mm-hmm. No, don't ever ask a Game of Thrones book fan. They're the most smug people on earth.
But they have...
These TV shows aren't that good.
But they have all the information, Ben. I mean, they're the ones that will be able to give you, I think, a good enough answer. I didn't watch the last season of Game of Thrones. I
did because I'm a good boyfriend.
I forgot.
And it's boring.
I forgot to watch.
Oh, then we have the horrible sounding board in this room.
No. Okay, look, this is me sitting on the fence, actually. I can go either way. But this is how you watch Game of Thrones, right? You wait for its premiere. All of America goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe that happened. You wait to see what happened, massive anticlimax. But you go, you know what? It's my turn, I'll watch the next thing. America goes, oh my gosh, I can't believe that person died. You watch it, you go, fair enough, that person was going to die anyway. Not overly incredible, but my turn, I'll watch the next one. Then they go, oh my gosh, I can't believe that's his sister.
So it's a little pattern like that.
So it's a bit like that, really. It's a cat and mouse game of trying to match hype with expectation, and ultimately you watch it and go, it's all right.
Yeah, because as an outsider, I'm just trying to understand this, where literally people are counting down to the premiere in July already.
But also...
oh my goodness, it's amazing. After so many years, though, it's like...
Yeah, but also, Sia, you must remember that, you know, some fans also have this thing where it's really important for them to be seen to belonging to something.
So it's a cult.
Yeah. It's kind of a cult behavior with some fans.
So being part of scouts, are you ever a scout as a child?
No.
This Arkayla and...
You go to school in like a khaki uniform with badges saying that, you know, you're good with leaves or something.
I always wanted to be a scout, though. But anyway, let's move past that.
You like can be trusted with a lighter. You get a special badge for that.
I always thought it was
There's
cool.
A lot of messages coming through. It makes it so much easier on the WhatsApp line, which I thank you for participating in, 0797482090. But please leave your name... otherwise, we're just saying, okay, anonymous the whole time. There's one anonymous person who seems to have discovered the WhatsApp line today. Brilliant. You've sent about 39 messages in. If we forget what happened in the show today, we're going to just use your messages. Thank you. But I've lost track of them. Michelle from the Aquarium says that she's had 3 calls from Montenegro recently.
Montenegro.
Gotta avoid those calls, Michelle. Good on you. And then Michael from Stellenbosch says, read the Madeleine McCain case. The case is still around because there is lots of money. It's not love or anything intangible. It's just cash. But again, like, we want to know, where do the millions of pounds come for this kind of thing?
Who's footing that bill?
Well, at least the parents haven't released... let me... do my research before I make such a statement. Like, maybe have they released a book? Have they been doing any talks?
It just seems, again, like, you question everything in life, right? And that's just how the world works. So we're questioning that because it just seems...
Never mind, they've written a book.
Of course they have. We had a similar case in South Africa, apparently, according to a message here. In Cape Town, a girl was found after 20 years. So I guess that there are cases where, in the words of Journey, you just don't stop believing.
Wow. You hold on to that feeling.
Yeah.
Street lights.
Pretty much, exactly.
Oh, whoa, whoa.
Rhythm is a dancer. Elson says, not sure if Abali had covered this, but Ricky Rick should have known that Julius Malema is a reliable source of all news in South Africa before defending Mabala Noyes.
Yeah, but you know what? There are a lot of people who didn't hold Julius Malema in high regard for the longest time. Mm-hmm. And then it was only after some of the things that he had been talking about were proven to be true that people started to give him the benefit of the doubt. Let me just find this.
It's just after he decided Ricky Rick is trying to leave the record label Mabala Noyes. And what was also released yesterday was that there's some sort of clause in the contract where he now has to pay his way out of the contract.
Oh dear, oh dear.
Which is allegedly 12 million rand.
Okay.
But now people are saying, and you know, Ricky Rick is now known for like Umswenko, which is like being like this king of clothing, and he was recently called out by Gucci in their head offices. They're like, yeah, Ricky, you are busy reading up on Gucci, but not reading up on your contract.
Hang on. So what partnership does Ricky Rick have with Gucci? What is the involvement there?
So he just released a song a couple of months ago, Umswenko, and about King Kotin, you know, which is all about clothing and being, you know, swagalicious and just based on his persona and what he posts on social media, that caught the eyes of the Gucci head office. So they personally flew him out for one of their fashion shows.
Okay. I know that they're flying him out again. He's going to be in Milan in a couple of weeks.
Look at that. Just money ain't a thing, you know. So kudos on him, but we are trying to get Ricky onto the show. We're in the process of doing that for him to actually, you know, lay his own story on the line about that, about what happened at the Metro FM Awards and so much more. So
yes,
yeah.
So Ricky was the one who, when he went up to accept his award at the Metro FM Awards, called out Mabala Noyes, the company that he signed to, accused them of buying awards, and then also criticized radio stations. Just went on a tirade. But now I see Mabala Noyes have denied that they've terminated the contract with Ricky Rick. So is he in or is he out?
That's the golden question.
Yeah, speaking of golden questions, Adam says, the O's are dropping the ball while you're away, Gareth. Part one not uploaded yet. What's going on?
Well, then he's just followed up with another message saying, oh, cancel and ignore previous message is finally uploaded.
Yeah, Adam, relax. Lucas is busting his balls here.
We're working.
You've not seen a guy with more busted balls than Lucas. I mean, look at him walking in here and hanging low.
Yes, have your say, Lucas.
Lucas, have your say. Defend yourself here.
Please go into the website.
Wait a minute. Sorry, let's try that again.
Go right ahead.
That was up in the last 15 minutes ago. This person, can they please refresh their machine? Are they using Windows
1997? Lucas!
And that burn was brought to you by Lucas. Adam, yeah, look, I thank you for letting us know. But yeah, every now and again, it's a couple of days here and there. Craig from Cape Town says, where do you add your name? Craig, you've done it already. Just got to use your name somewhere in those messages that you send, all those beautiful messages.
Hello, Craig.
Right, any more stories? Well, I feel like I've just been caught into a vortex of like complaints there.
Here we go. Maybe it's just me and being slightly anxious. Do you guys ever freak out over being caught up one day in a situation that would land you up in prison? Not like an obvious thing, but like a loophole.
Well, yeah. Have you seen that movie? That TV show, The Night Of.
What's that about?
It's great for the first couple of episodes and then just plateaus terribly. This guy picks up a girl, goes home with her. She's doing drugs, but she's kind of hot, so he thinks, I'll go with this. Mm-hmm. He then wakes up and she's dead.
You see?
But he doesn't know how she died. She's full of stab wounds. He doesn't remember killing her. He then gets obviously thrown in jail. Long case, goes into jail, gets tattoos, gets into drugs.
Oh,
story. It's not worth watching the whole show. It's quite crap in the end, actually. But yes.
Now, I just discovered you could go to jail for inducing panic.
What?
How would I induce panic? Give me an example.
This is a public service announcement, folks. All right. So inducing panic is when a person causes the evacuation of any public place or otherwise cause serious public inconvenience or alarm by doing the following. So number one is initiating or circulating a report or warning of an alleged or impending fire explosion, a crime or catastrophe. Number two, threatening to commit any offense or violence. That's kind of obvious. And then number three, committing any offense with reckless disregard of the likelihood that its commission will cause serious public inconvenience or alarm. Now, I know that's a lot of terminology, but let's use a practical example, because I kind of get the story, but at the same time, I don't as well. So a couple, you know, they're all lovey-dovey, they're engaged, and they kind of had a humorous bone to them. Natalie and her fiance, Micah, were together at home, and they decided to play a bit of a prank on their family members by posing a picture where Natalie laid in a bathtub and her fiance Micah covered her in tomato sauce. Mm. And the fiance snapped a picture of her so that she looked seemingly murdered. Mm. And sends the text to Natalie's sister saying, "Please help me. I really didn't mean to. I don't remember. We were arguing and I woke up to this."
Oh, that is, that is on the level of pranks. That is like a 15 out of 10.
But we all know someone who just takes pranking a bit overboard.
A bit too far.
And their justification was the sister doesn't come around and see them often. So they literally were just sending this so that she panics, she comes over.
Yeah.
And, you know, they just get to spend the afternoon together. Is it a bit too drastic to get your sister to visit you? Yes. Is it all in the name of fun? It's not like he posted this on a public forum. He sent this to his sister. But the problem was that the sister actually was sort of alluding to, don't worry, we'll work together. You're like trying to find out, like, did you do this? And so trying to cover up. So this is actually a good sister to work with, because she's here to, you know, help you out in a situation like this. But the problem is one of the family members called the cops.
As one would when you suspect that somebody has lost their life.
Exactly. And now with the cops involved, Natalie and Micah have been arrested for inducing panic.
Oh, okay. Yeah, look, I get it, because it's kind of similar to when police feel like because humans have done something stupid, you have completely wasted their police resources.
Mm-hmm.
And then they can charge you with certain things in that kind of instance as well. So I get this inducing panic thing.
But then why isn't Jacob Zuma arrested? Because he induces panic every time he talks.
Because, Ben, some people are just untouchable, and that's just the way it is.
Is this the next charge? How many of them? 800.
Yeah.
But to go to prison just for that?
Yeah.
Isn't that a bit extreme? Not even a warning or on probation?
I mean, panic is a horrible thing, Sia. I mean, look at you. You live half your life in panic.
Folks, I'm just thinking about them now having to go to prison in the midst of, like, rapists and murderers. And they're like, hey, what are you in here for? Inducing panic.
And then I'd be panicked if I go to prison too. So you know that the video of the guy talking to BBC and the children walk in?
Mm.
Yes.
So the grandparents and Robert Kelly. The grandparents have now spoken up about this.
Oh, shame. They had to drag them in and involve them.
Well, I still want to know why he handed the child off in the face without even looking. I mean, that's a bit harsh. And how frantic the mother was. It just shows that I think he's a bit heavy handed.
Mm.
Anyway, the grandparents say that is the room that they Skype the grandparents on. So whenever they hear voices in the room, the kids think that the grandparents are going to be on Skype and they want to talk to the grandparents.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that's why they walked in like that. Because they were like, I want to talk to grandma, whatever.
But, I mean, why are these poor grandparents trying to explain why the children were in that room as if there's something wrong? They're children.
Because everything...
They are children.
Everything is a disaster nowadays because panic has been induced. So we've got to turn down the panic.
Why this is even a story. So some journalist was mandated to go out and research this. Guys, it happens. Like, it's bound to happen. Kids and make all these fails all the time. No. it's just another day of being a parent.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, before we wrap up for this hour, we've got a guest coming in the next hour with Gareth on the pre-record. We've got something else we're going to get into in the next hour. It is movies that have seemed to inspire crimes or killings. But before we get into that, we're going to learn some new words. It's always good to have new words. I know this because I often battle with the old words. So if I have new words, then maybe this is the way forward.
All right.
So, are you ready?
Strengthening, broadening our vocabulary.
Yeah, and then you'll be able to use words and it's going to be absolutely incredible.
These are English words, right?
Yeah.
You aren't teaching us Russian in 2 minutes.
Well, how would I do that? I have no idea.
I don't know.
Okay, so, game show music. Horrible game show music. Right, so you can guess the word or I will tell you what the word is.
As in guess the definition of the word.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you the definition and then I'm going to say what letter it starts with and you can try then tell me what the word is. Okay, excessive incoherent talkativeness. The word starts with an L.
Excessive incoherent talkativeness.
Yeah. Excessive incoherent talkativeness.
Labba jabba.
No.
What? That sounds like something out of a script of Lord of the Rings or something.
Labba jabba.
The word you're looking for there for excessive incoherent talkativeness is logorrhea. Logorrhea.
That sounds
like... So just think diarrhea and you're looking at logorrhea.
Okay.
I couldn't deal with all the logorrhea in the office today.
Okay, all right.
That sounds like a hotel resort somewhere in the world. La Logorrhea.
Okay.
Don't you want to stay there?
Next question is coming up. Right. A healthy substitute for pizza crust. Starts with an S.
It's not spinach based.
Yeah, so basically cauliflower is a great and healthy substitute for pizza base, but what's the word that's going to basically depict that?
Substitute.
Succedaneum.
Yeah,
that's
see,
not
this
English.
Is the problem, mm-hmm. is that
I
these
want
words,
a succedaneum for that pizza.
These words sound like they're more Latin or something than anything else.
Guys, this is what you got to do if you're going to be particularly clever.
No, not really. Not really.
That's very succedaneum. Who wants to be millionaire-esque now?
Right, so defiantly aggressive. Now, this often happens when we talk about protests and government coups and all that kind of stuff.
Okay.
Defiantly aggressive, a word starting with T.
Targaryen.
Oh, that sounds very official. Tyrannical.
Truculent.
That was close enough.
The mob grew truculent.
Tyrannical a word.
No.
Right. Okay. Staying with politics. If a young activist make their rejection of the president's policies clear, then what would be the word that you could use for that? Rejection of a president's policies. So this something something, this one word starting with A, was very much topical around Donald Trump being brought into the White House.
This amnestation.
Oh. See how what you got.
Ambidextrously wrong.
No, you don't use two hands, no, you're an idiot. Abnegation.
I've never heard of these words in my life.
He got onto the stool to show his abnegation.
I've heard of abdication or abdicate something.
Is this quiz going as bad as I think it's going?
Yes, absolutely. Because, see, you say you've never heard these words before. I can guarantee you will never hear them again.
Yeah.
There isn't a single person that you are bound to meet in your lifetime who's going to use any of these words.
But what's a truculence move out of my life?
Oh. But watch this be the one question one of us gets if we ever enter, like, who wants to be a millionaire? And this is like the million rand question. We're like, oh, I remember.
If you are indifferent to politics, what are you? Starting with an L.
It means that you are neither bothered nor do you care.
We're looking for a word, my buddy. I don't know if you've been following the word game.
Oh, I thought you were asking to define indifference. Oh.
You really battle to stick on a subject, don't you?
No, I don't. Just this one example. Calm down. Just calm yourself down.
This is like called the truculent.
Starts with the letter L.
If you... It's almost impossible to be indifferent about politics in today's world. What would you then be if that was something you were?
Lumberjackstical.
You'd be Lotusian. He's very Lotusian about that topic.
How do you even spell that? How are we meant to know that?
Well, there's an L involved.
Oh, that's all you know. Lotusian. I'm literally spelling it as like how it sounds in Afrikaans.
Okay, like this game has completely failed.
No, but yeah.
Of course it was going to fail.
What do you mean, of course it was going to fail?
These are words. When? Who?
Ben.
Who are you going to meet in the next 2 years who's going to use these words in conversation?
Put it this way, right? You listen to this on the podcast and going, you know what? There's this real dickhead at work and I just want to basically, you know, one-up him.
No.
And then you go, well, they've got these words now. Plus...
No, bottom line, just don't talk to idiots.
Game show music as well. So let's give you a bit of an idea, my buddy. Would you like to talk about the guest that we have on the third hour? We've got all this information. So while Gareth's been away, Dori. Now, Dori is an absolute superstar of the Gareth Cliff Morning Show, and she doesn't quite get the praise or the... damn it, I've lost the big words. See, if I carried on with
adoration,
the game, I
applause.
Might have a big word enough for Dori. And so she's been working tirelessly behind the scenes to make sure we got all the guests for you, just so that while Gareth is away, things can be as normal as possible. Gareth will be away until next week, with permitting, because there's some badass storms that are happening in the America area where he is. Oh, he's currently in Austin, Texas for South by Southwest, if you just joined us now. And with that, he's going to have some amazing stories when he gets back. But he's still provided some amazing stories while he is away. It's like Inception. So, Mavs, who we got in the
Today, it's Busisi Wendindili, and she is a creative talent in the sense that she is a writer. She's got a very interesting story about how she grew up in New Jersey. So that, for one, will provide some interesting, you know, memories that she can share about being in that part of the world. This is because her parents went into self-imposed exile during apartheid, all right? At the age of 13, she directed her first play, because, you know, what were you doing at age 13?
Eating crayons.
I think I was in the play. I was the back half of a donkey.
And then over the years since directing that play, she's built up a formidable CV in writing. She produces, she directs, she writes for television shows. She's written for movies and documentaries. So this young lady, you know, has already packed in quite a lot in terms of her career and some of the things that she's been able to create in her young career. So Busisi Wendindili, that's who you've got to look forward to after 8.
Super. Awesome. Very, very nice. Very, very nice. Those after 8. But you're correct. There's still the movies that have inspired crimes.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Do you want to add something else on top of that?
No, I was just going to say, do we know how Gareth is coming back? Is he going, like...
plane, probably. That's how people travel nowadays.
Through New York City, or...
Yeah.
Because New York City is basically shut down from the storm Stella, but... Okay, yeah.
Oh, Stella.
Well, when we speak to him tomorrow...
Yeah, such a nice little
when
name.
We speak to him tomorrow, if he's going to join us, then we can throw that by him.
Perfecto.
Right, I got a message earlier from Alistair. We're talking about famous and famous things and how Taylor Swift's horror were making Ed Sheeran more famous.
Mm.
Which begs the question, do famous people have the ability to make other people famous?
You know, this is a particularly good skill that one Ryan Seacrest possesses.
Yes.
You know, he had his own little bit of fame from his Idols period.
Mm-hmm.
But then he's basically credited with inventing and creating the Kardashian clan. He made them famous.
Well, speaking of the Kardashian clan, Alistair has requested that we play Kanye West Famous.
Ah.
Ah, that's actually, well, okay. I like this song.
Do you?
I do.
Okay, very good.
It's like a nice little intro. We can all rap along to it.
So while we go through this, third hour coming up, keep messages coming. Man, I can understand. A lot of nudity in this, yeah?
kind of hard thing. To love a
girl like that sounds like Rihanna.
That is Rihanna on the song. And it's all of these wax figures of these celebrities all naked lying in bed together. All right, like a 6 degrees of separation, Ben.
Okay, very good. Catch back up with us. Swiss song and let the beat right. CliffCentral.com